I think one of the most concerning stories this week was the story we were talking about yesterday in relation to the 2,500 neurology patients being recalled in Northern Ireland. And a private clinic, indeed, is to open a helpline following the recall as well. The recall comes amid concerns that some patients may have been misdiagnosed. It follows a review of the work that we were talking about, as I say, on the programme yesterday of the neurology consultant, Dr. Michael Watt, at the Belfast Health and Social Care Trust. He operated a private practice as well, as we've alluded to. That was at the Ulster Independent Clinic. He was operating that up until 2017. The Belfast Trust calling or recalling 2,500 patients with letters arriving yesterday morning or this morning. And the clinic says it has a helpline open as well. The number is 028 90 68 65 1. That's the helpline number that is available. And there's also an advice line that is open on 0800 980 1100. It's been particularly concerning if you are one of the patients, if you get a letter like this. And just looking at the front of the Irish News this morning, carrying the story as they did yesterday as well. What if I've been taking the wrong drugs all the time? A County Antrim woman who battled multiple sclerosis for 14 years says she was floored by a letter telling her of concerns about the consultant who diagnosed her, Deirdre Walford. And Deirdre is available to speak to us on the programme. Good morning, Deirdre.
Good morning.
Deirdre, this must be a harrowing experience to be going through. First of all, to be diagnosed with multiple sclerosis is a challenge for most people, but now, so many years into treatment, the possibility that you don't have the condition, that must be incredibly concerning if you've been taking the drugs and you're now getting a letter and you're going to a special meeting. How do you cope with this, Deirdre?
At the minute, I'm just in shock. Got the letter yesterday, and there's just a range of emotions. I'm glad that finally something's being done. And me and my husband were lying awake last night going, there's a possibility that I don't have MS. And there's guilt associated with telling my family, telling my friends that I do if I don't. And at the same time, if there's just a glimmer of hope that I don't, it's fantastic. But in all reality, the MRI showed up lesions, and there's probably a good chance that I still have MS, but I don't know, and I won't know until I've been reviewed.
This is obviously adding to the stress. Yes, in the ideal world, you wouldn't have the condition, but the pressure you must be under waiting for diagnosis from a third party, that must be incredibly difficult.
Oh, just so shocking. And although we are being seen quite quick, I don't know how they're going to re-diagnose me, because it took a long time to get diagnosed in the first place. It took MRIs, it took a lot. So I think it's going to be a lot longer than they're envisaging.
And have you been taking significant medication over those 14 years?
Horrible medication. I mean, the treatment for MS is not nice. It all has its side effects. I was saying one of the ones that I took, I remember my son coming running towards me to hug me. And because it was injections and because I was having sight reactions, I was just red and swollen and putting my hands up to stop him and going, oh no, please don't touch mommy. And I just thought, how's that any kind of quality of life? And that was the side effects of the treatment. And none of them were much better. So I've been through a whole lot of them. In fact, the last one that was going to go on before Dr. Watt sort of disappeared was one that would cause hair loss. So, no, none of them are nice. And the idea that possibly, maybe, these weren't even for me.
It would be a cause for celebration if you don't have MS. It's also concerning that you would be taking so much medication for a condition that you don't have. There'd have to be obviously an investigation into what effect that medication may or may not have had on your body. I know you have this roller coaster, and it's an overused term, but my goodness, it is relevant to you, lying awake last night with your husband thinking about, I may not have MS, I may have MS, I may have damage as a result of the medication. There may be a cause for celebration. There may be despair coming down the line. You don't know what to settle on, but do you feel any anger?
Do you know what? The whole MS treatment is just, it's not functional. You would have waited 2 years to see him. you would have waited in the waiting room for an hour and a half at the very least, and he would have seen you all of 2 minutes. And, you know, you make the most of what you're given. So I tried to engage with him to get something out of it, and I just thought, this is shocking, and the waiting list and everything. So maybe, finally, there'll be a better service provided for MS people. And that's the only glimmer of hope, you know, that the service will get better.
What is the timetable now for the invitation that's been issued to you regarding the next few days, the next week or so?
Do you know what? I phoned up and I was offered an appointment on Wednesday the 9th, and that shocked me as well, because I thought, that's really quick. Why would it be so quick? What's wrong? What do they know that I don't? So all these things went through my head as well. They say they're going to see people within 12 weeks. And that sounds great, but there's no way that they're going to be re-diagnosing people within 12 weeks. So it's going to be a long process to get everybody sorted out, I would imagine. I really don't know. My appointment actually was quite quick again. And I'm just going to have to wait and see from there. And I just don't, I mean, I don't know. As you say, it's a range of emotions. And I don't know what's going to happen.
The most important thing is your health, and that there's nothing other than that that you should be focusing on. Your family will want you to be healthy. The families of all the other people who may have been misdiagnosed will want them to be healthy. But if you look at it in the wider picture, do you want action taken? Do you want to actually lodge some form of complaint? Do you want to pursue some form of compensation for what you're going through at this very moment in time?
I suppose I don't particularly. I always think resolve the problem. And there's been numerous people shouting about this for a long time and saying that there's something wrong. The system's broke there. So there's a lot of relief that finally it's been highlighted. And I hope that it does get resolved this time. I hope it's not just a case of, you know, a storm in a teacup and then it carries on the way it was. I don't think that the man was in an easy position, and maybe that was just that he was overworked and that was his way of dealing with it. I don't know. It's hard to make excuses for him when I'm sitting in this position. I suppose some people will. Me, I just want it sorted.
And just finally, Dirty, were you going through the NHS to see him, or were you his private patient?
Yeah, NHS, and I often wondered would it make any difference, but probably not.
Well, yeah. You're in a difficult position this morning, as are 2,499 other people who'll be reading these letters yesterday morning and this morning. And I do hope there is a happy outcome for you, Deirdre, because I don't think anyone would want to be sitting with the worry you have at the minute. And I really appreciate you taking time out to so eloquently describe the position that you're in. Thanks for your time.
Well, you're welcome. And I hope that everybody else gets resolved as well.
Deirdre Walford speaking to us there. It's, you know, you think when you get up in the morning you don't have worries or concerns, but if you're opening one of those letters, life sort of goes on hold a wee bit, doesn't it? One of the first reporters to be covering this yesterday was Seanine Graham, who had it on the front of the Irish news yesterday, certainly in the Irish news. Seanine, it's hard to believe there'd be so many people called back. That's a massive callback, isn't it?
Yes, Frank, it's probably unprecedented for the Belfast Trust. There have been other patient recalls in Northern Ireland over the last 10 years, but this is probably one of the biggest. And we have been following this story in the Irish news for some weeks. There's been lots and lots of rumours around this particular doctor for, as Deirdre said, quite some time. He left the trust in June, but he's still an employee, so he has been away for almost a year. But when this first came to light, and through our own sources, we discovered that they were really applying a lot of resources into setting up a helpline, sending out letters. When they received, after the receipt of the Royal College of Physicians report, which was the independent report, that basically found patient concerns around the work of Dr. Watts. So basically last weekend, lots of senior Belfast Trust staff were called in And as one said, it was a huge logistical task putting together 2,500 letters and then actually setting up a helpline. That doesn't happen very often in Northern Ireland.
So what's next for all of these people, apart from the appointment they might get in a week's time, like Deirdre was telling us about, and the worry, the absolute trauma that they're going to be going through, the anxiety, the concern, the that up and down feeling where, oh, I might be okay, and no, I mightn't be, and just that horrible sensation of not knowing what's next. Apart from the appointment and going through all of that, what's awaiting these 2,500 people?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. People like Deirdre this morning in our paper today, she's our front page story today, and she articulates so well the whole range of emotions. That is, you know, have they been misdiagnosed? Have they been taking the wrong drugs for, you know, all this time? Some of these patients are their treatment's going back, you know, almost a decade. So it really is, as one doctor said yesterday, they're life-changing conditions as well, everything from MS to epilepsy to strokes to Parkinson's. But I suppose now it is just, you know, a wait for them. But I think one of the particular concerns, you know, it is to be welcomed that the Belfast Trust, which is Northern Ireland's biggest trust, set up this helpline and acted swiftly in issuing these letters. But one of the things that came out yesterday, and, you know, I received so many calls from concerned patients yesterday, was why did it take so long for this to be set up? A GP first raised the alarm about this story 2 years ago. The Dr. Watts, his own colleagues, then raised the alarm in December 2016. So that's almost 17 months ago. Yes, they had an internal review. This independent body, the Royal College of Physicians, were called in. But I just think there's some concerns, and that's reflected in our coverage today, around the communication to patients when there was this huge rumour mill, you know, and people were asking, you know, what has happened? What is the matter with Dr. Watt? Both in the NHS and the private sector as well, you know, he had lots of patients. And that's the other thing. I mean, it was just late last night it was announced that a private helpline is to be set up, and that's pretty rare to have an NHS helpline and a private helpline running in tandem. It's quite some time since that happened in the Northern Ireland Health Service.
There's an ongoing scandal in the Republic of Ireland, totally separate scandal, people who have been completely let down by the system there in relation to cervical smears. Do you see this as the Northern Ireland equivalent of a crisis like that, or may it not be as bad?
Well, I think it's very early in the day to, you know, to make those sort of assessments. And, you know, there were a lot of, so it was a crisis management strategy yesterday by the Trust, and doctors were very keen to reassure patients that they had acted, as they thought, as swiftly as they could. And, you know, we pressed them yesterday on whether any patients' lives had actually been put at risk, as in this tragic case in the Republic, where 17 women have now died. But to go back to Belfast, they said that the Belfast Trust insisted last night that they did not think, and we quote them in our paper today, that anyone had come to significant harm, though they did think it was prudent and wise, I think was the phrase that kept being repeated yesterday by the Trust, that they carry out this review. And, you know, we can't forget this particular neurologist. Neurology is a highly specialist field. He had more than 3,000 patients, 3,200 patients, you know, on his books. And as I say, he did start working last June. He remains an employee of the Trust, Dr. Michael Watt. But of those 3,200, you know, 2,500, as you said at the top of the programme, have received these letters. But that's still a lot of people. And it's a lot of people for one doctor. It's a huge caseload, and someone managing very, very complex conditions, you know.
It's a poor reflection on the system. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
And you just wonder, don't you? Just one final point, and I put this to Deirdre, and I'm just trying to visualise what it must be like for anyone getting up with a diagnosis of a morning where you've been diagnosed with Parkinson's or MS. It's not on your mind all the time, but you're aware that you've got something life-changing going on. 14 years down the line, you possibly find out, or 5 years or whatever down the line, you possibly find out that you haven't had the condition. You'd have a mixture of joy and incredible anger, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, going back to Deirdre, we had other callers yesterday who, you know, were very, very distressed and very emotional. And really, a journalist wasn't the best person to speak to them. That's why it's good that they've set up the helpline. But, you know, just utter despair, I think, is what Deirdre described it. And we had another caller, a young woman who had, you know, quit work, was only in her 30s, and just it was in constant pain, was constantly in and out of hospital. They couldn't get to the root of it. And she had been a patient of Dr. Watton. She is just, she's so demoralized. And, you know, it's not just, these are very, very debilitating long-term conditions physically, but the mental distress that they already have in their lives, you know, this is just made all the worse by this. And hopefully some people, you know, as Deirdre put it, there's a glimmer of hope, but, you know, that is to be looked at in the wider context in terms of they have these other emotions, you know, and just not just for them, for their family, for their friends. It really is a very difficult situation.
Totally. Seanine, really appreciate your time on it. Thank you very much indeed. Seanine Graham, who's the health correspondent with the Irish News, and Seanine, who's been across this story longer than most people and having it on the front page of the Irish News yesterday and again today. You can read indeed in some detail there the interview with Deirdre, who spoke to us a few moments ago on the programme. It's heading towards 20 to 10.